Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sportsman Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ammo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, well, how's it going?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, glad to be on.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm equally as happy to have all of you all on the show. Man, let's we're going to dive right into it. We're going to talk about the Knicks series.
We are the New York Knicks.
That's right. We're the New York Knicks. Don't forget it. Donovan Mitchell better not forget it.
Yep.
You know, Garland last night didn't forget that.
Katie, don't you wish you were the New York Knicks?
Yep. That's right, man. That's right. The buzz is back. The buzz is back in the city.
Yep.
The lights are on in the Garden at playoff time.
Yep.
Can't beat that. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that. Right now, the Rangers and the Devils are battling each other, you know, right now at the Garden right now. Back-to-back days, you know, you got the Garden buzzing playoff-wise. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, like what you just alluded to, KD, even though KD is in the Suns, don't you wish he was with the Knicks? And because of your, you know, your prima donna-ish ways, you know, Nia Towns got taken to and traded to Phoenix, you know, and as a result, the Nets, you know, the Nets had to basically rebuild the team, you know, and Mikal Bridges has been the centerpiece of that team, you know, right now, but you know, they got their butts swept by James Harden, you know, another guy who's supposed to save them and give them their first NBA title that forced his way to the city of brotherly love, except if you're not from Philadelphia. But, we're going to talk about that series that just ended. We're going to talk about the Mets, Scherzer getting suspended, you know, 10 games for allegedly breaking the rules that he followed. You know, he followed the rules, but he still got suspended. You know, we'll get into that. You know, wrestling, you know, WWE, AEW, you know, whatever else is on our mind. You know the number. It's 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any, and I mean any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, with that said, you know, we got the phone lines open up for you if you want to let your voice be heard. But, yeah, man, let's just tip off. Let's just dive for that loose ball. And let's talk about the New York Knicks. The Knicks are back in the playoffs. New York City is back. Like, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, I've been doing this show since 2009, you know, with you, Mac. And I'm telling you, the New York City is not buzzing, man. The sports world in general is not buzzing unless my teams are in the playoffs, because it's, like, so rare that my teams are actually good, that when they're there, it's like the whole world, the whole sports world is like, oh, my goodness, the Mets are in the playoffs? The Knicks are in the playoffs? You know, it's like, It's such a rarity that my teams are in the playoffs, you know, and when they make the playoffs, they usually make some noise, you know, but unfortunately, the noise at the end of the day has been a big, you know, giant fart, because they haven't won anything. All my teams haven't basically won anything in like 30, 40, 50 years, depending on what team I'm rooting for. So, you know, it's good to see that, you know, the Knicks, they're playing well. You know, they look better than the team that they had 2 years ago, you know, when they faced the Hawks and got, you know, Trae Young'd, you know, when he just took over the Garden, you know, that bing-bong era. Yeah, man, that era, it's a different team. You know, they only won one game. We got two now. Yesterday, man, was a dominant performance. We won away. I think it was 99-79.
Yep.
This was the lowest score points allowed in any game of this season. I'm not just the postseason. This whole entire NBA season, no team has allowed less than 80 points until yesterday. That's how much we dominated that game. And shout out to RJ Barrett for popping up, showing up. You know, me and you, we've been the presidents of that of the RJ Barrett fan club for years, man. He's been looking – this year he's been making us look stupid. Let's be real. But he showed up, man, because this guy, he has the potential. He just has to – you know, he got to just inject himself with that ice water in his veins, man, and just play the way he played, scoring, 10 of his first quarter points out of the 19 points he scored overall in the first quarter. He lifts up the team. His performance catapulted the team. It was, you know, I don't want to say it's on that level, you know, because that, you know, the Willis Reed game seven was iconic, even though he only scored two baskets, 4 points, you know, the first two shots. You know, I mean, to ignite the Knicks and then, ignite Walt Clyde Frazier to have that, the best night of his career, you know, game seven, shook the L.A. Lakers that year. That team had, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, Elgin Baylor, all these legendary players, man. They got shook when they saw Willis Reed, on the garden floor. It was 53 years ago that happened, but speaking of that, you know, those boys, 3 years later, after they lost to the Lakers and sent their revenge, they had, you know, Earl the Pearl Monroe, and they, you know, in five, they dominated the Lakers. And then that's all she wrote for the Knicks championship-wise. These guys didn't even get a ticker tape parade, man. Like, that's an injustice right there. But a big injustice is that we couldn't have won the title in the 90s, man. And then we had to go through this huge, gigantic, prehistoric ice age drought of not even championships, but just being the laughing stock of the league, getting players way past their prime, signing players who never even made their prime for a ridiculous amount of money because superstar players didn't want to come here. They still don't want to come here. But right now, we're building a culture right now. We got a team. All we need is a superstar player to come here and change the culture. And yesterday was a big step. We had Brunson, you know, playing hard as always.
Brunson started off slow yesterday.
Oh, what you said?
Brunson started off slow in the beginning.
Right.
But he picked it up in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And, yeah, man, we just – tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock, game four, we cannot get our foot – take our foot off the you know, the pedal. We just gotta keep going, man. We cannot let this team come in the garden and split the series and then go back to Cavs, to Cleveland. It's not gonna be a good look. We cannot let them even up this series and potentially get the home field advantage. We gotta destroy the sleeping giant while it's there.
We definitely gotta go up 3-1 tomorrow.
Yeah, we got to. That's imperative. We gotta act like we're down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We gotta stop them. We cannot let them tie this series up. Because the way how they embarrassed us game two, that's exactly what we did to them game three, and it was a thing of beauty. Mwah! Chef kiss. It was beautiful, man. But yeah, let me. What's your thoughts, Mac? About the series and yesterday's game.
Yeah, yesterday's game was probably the best defensive game I've seen the Knicks play all season. And RJ Barrett, yeah, he finally stepped up. The first two games, he looked invisible out there, but he's able to, like, give us a spark in the first half. And I think him playing well really helped. Quickly also played well. He's been struggling the first two games of the series as well. So he had a good game, 11 points, which is not bad off the bench. And I mentioned Brunson, who was got off to a slow start in the first half, but he picked it up in the second half a bit. The Knicks just played very good defense. I think they generated 23 points or might have been – actually, no, it might have been 83 points off of Cavalier turnovers. No, that can't be right. I think it was 23 points. It might have been 23 points that I saw. There was a graphic I saw where the Knicks scored so many points off of Cavalier turnovers. Because every time you look, it looks like Cavaliers were throwing the ball over to us, to their own teammates. Oh, and we were getting major stops, you know. Held them to 79 points and ended up blowing them by 20 points. Yeah, overall, it was a very good game from the Knicks. Grimes got injured. I hope he can bounce back and come back tomorrow. So hope to hear more news on that, on what happened.
Yeah, man, you were right, man. You said that it looked like the best game we had all year. Let me confirm that for you. Let me go to the Elias Sports Bureau or ESPN or any of those information. Okay, I'm gonna confirm with my sources. Yeah, that was the best. Not only the best game that the Knicks played all year, but that's the best defense this entire season. Because you know why? Because no other team prior to yesterday has ever held a team to under 80 points this entire season, this basketball season. So the Knicks, man, they had a historic night last night, and you know, hopefully they can build on it tomorrow afternoon. You know, the Cavs, man, they're hungry. They're gonna try to come back, try to even up the series, but we cannot let them. This is imperative. This is
definitely gotta win tomorrow to go up 3-1. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right.
And if there is a game six, I got tickets.
All right. Well, hopefully there is a game. Let me do the math in my head.
Cavaliers would need to win.
Oh,
if the Cavaliers win tomorrow,
there'll
definitely be game six.
Yeah, that's true. Man, I want you to see that game, but then again, do I want them to have a win? Yeah, man. I hope you get to see the game, but then I don't want them to win a game. At least maybe if it's 3-2, maybe.
I'm hoping so today. I'm hoping they can wrap up the series real quick. Also, you know, I don't mind being refunded.
Okay, that's a good point. Well, worst case scenario, you get to see game six. But yeah, let's hope that we could kick these guys behind, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Cavs, man, they've been whooping our behind ever since LeBron James was there. And then when Kyrie, you know, LeBron left, took his talents to South Beach, then Kyrie Irving was, whooping our butts at that time. And then when LeBron and Kyrie were there, you know what happened. Then when they left, they still was kicking our butts. So this year it was like the year that we actually, like, you know, played a lot better. I think we won the series. Didn't we win the series? I think they only won one game, if I'm mistaken, the regular
this year?
Season. I think so.
This year we played better better against them. Yeah.
Like we snapped a 13-game winning streak or something. It was something like that, if my memory serves me right. So, yeah, we're playing a lot better against. Right now I have a 2-1 lead. Still early. But yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Let's keep this momentum going. And hopefully these superstar players are going to be, you know, kicking themselves like, man, that could have been us, man. We could have been on the New York Knicks. You know where I'm getting with this? You know where I'm going with this, Seth?
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
They go, New York, go, New York, go.
Go, New York, go, New York, go.
They go, New York, go, New York, go.
Go, New York, go, New York, go.
We're back on track.
Go, New York. That's what I'm talking about. Bing. Well, come on, let's do this. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Come on. We'll see what happens. It's early. You know, let's take it one game at a time. Let's see what happens. Hopefully there's a miracle. Let's see what happens, man.
Yep.
But, on the other side of the spectrum, you have the Brooklyn Nets. They got eliminated by the 76ers. Yeah, they got swept. I mean, no surprise that they lost, after they had to rebuild after, all their big three, basically, they all took their talents. They demanded a trade on the anniversary of them coming. Durant demanded the trade on the end. What was it? The 3-year anniversary of him, coming to Brooklyn with Kyrie. Then, after weeks or so, maybe a month or so, then they changed their mind. Then, Kyrie got traded. Then Durant wanted to get traded, and Kyrie got traded to the Mavs. Was it Mavs? Yeah, I think it was Mavericks. Yeah, Mavericks. Suns, got Durant. Who else? What happened? Oh, yeah. And then what was that? Last year, Harden, got traded to 76ers to get Ben Simmons, who's been injury prone, his entire career lately. And then, Mikal Bridges and I'm trying to think, Cam Jones, was it Cam Thomas, I think his name is? They've been picking up the slack for the Nets, but, they play better down this, the second half, but, against this tough 76ers team, man, even though they lost Embiid, man, they couldn't stop their old friend, Joe Harden. Harden. So, that's all she wrote. And the Nets got to go back to the drawing board. What's your thoughts on the Nets getting swept out of the playoffs?
Well, if they had the big three, they would have had a chance. But those big three they're on other teams now. But you got to give the Nets credit. Having all those big stars traded away, they still managed to go to the playoffs, even though they had to limp into the playoffs. But they still fought down the stretch, and they gave the Sixers a hard time. In this game, I was taking a glance at the game. I didn't really watch all of it. But at one point, the Nets did have a lead in this game, and it looked like they were going to win it. But the Sixers just pulled away in the fourth quarter and ended up taking it. But you got to give the Nets credit, to lose their big three and still being able to compete and fight hard. I still see them being a good team next season. Mm-hmm. They can build on the core, the guys that they have right now. And, hey, maybe even find a superstar in the next few years.
Yeah.
So, bye-bye, Nets. The Knicks are still here. Sorry, Brooklyn. It's a Nick town.
So, basically, they lost by the final score of 96-88. Dinwiddie had 20 points. Mikal Bridges had 17. Nick Claxton had 19. Cam Johnson had 11. But, it wasn't enough for this Eastern Conference powerhouse in the 76ers. So, Tobias Harris scored 25 points. Maxey scored 16. And the 76ers advance out of the first round. So, props to the Nets, that they – they were in a tough situation, a sticky situation, losing all their top guys and, still finding a way to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we'll see what happens in the off season. But yeah, talking about sticky situations, who do you think is in more of a sticky situation? The Nets getting swept? Donovan Mitchell right now with his team down 2-1? Or Max Scherzer and the Mets getting, you know, Max Scherzer getting suspended and ejected out of the game, missing 10 games because of, you know, his sticky, you know, rosin thing that is legal in the game, but for whatever reason, this umpire has caught two other people, like at least three occasions. He's the only guy who's enforcing this rule, this stuff, and now, you know, Scherzer, who played by the rules, is getting suspended. Who do you think is in a more stickier situation?
Scherzer, of course.
And why so?
Well, just the fact that he was suspended for it. You know? Then, I mean, I don't know what to make of this rule. I really don't. So something similar happened to Herman, but Herman didn't get suspended for it. I don't know what the rules are anymore, to be honest with you. I don't know what you can or what you can't do. Like, MLB rules are changing daily.
Yeah. Are you a fan of this pitch count thing?
I mean, I see how it can speed up the game. But then, like, you got to have, like, hitters pressing a bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The pitcher's also going to have to hurry up and throw pitches, like,
mm-hmm.
It's moving more and more away from traditional baseball. But, I mean, I can see why they're doing it, but the idea behind it, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, I guess, you know. Maybe I might like it. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this speeding up. I'm not a fan of the pitch count. The good thing is, obviously, the game is speed up. You know, there's not a lot of dead time, you know what I mean, like between pitches. And, you know, this should, in theory, improve the defense because the guys know at a certain amount of time, okay, they have to pitch, so I have to be on my toes. And then not to mention the good thing that they've done is that there's no more shifts. I mean, the shifts is not, like, all the time. So, a player like Lindor could show off his range and abilities, whereas – with the shift, you got third baseman, you know, playing at short, and you got four outfielders, you know, depending on what shift formation, you know, you're putting at a moment.
Yeah.
But,
it's a lot of changes to baseball, you know, to improve the game, make it quicker, more exciting,
mm-hmm.
more watchable.
All right. What about, do you still like that the, that they have the Phantom Runner in extra innings?
I never said I liked that. I don't know why they did that, to be honest with you, because that could be a disadvantage sometimes for some teams, especially a team that can't hit. But, I'd be against. Wish they could go back to the traditional way where you have to earn a base rather than awarding it to a team, you know, after the ninth inning.
I hear you, man. I've never liked that move. That decision is so annoying. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you could lose by a leadoff two-run home run, walk-off home run. Like, I mean, it's just a joke. I mean, they're trying to reinvent the wheel, but they're making it worse. Like, I really, let me ask you, because, I mean, your team is always in the playoffs, so I could ask you, is the Phantom rule in the playoffs too, or is that just regular season?
I think it's in wasn't it in the playoffs last year?
I don't even remember.
I think it's in the playoffs.
That's horrible.
I believe so. I'd have to go back and check.
That's a joke. Like, a Phantom Runner, you're going to lose by a Phantom Runner in a postseason?
Yeah.
All right, well, lastly, what do you think about the interleague every day. Like basically, I mean, yeah, not all the teams. Not all the teams are. Now you're finally playing against all 30 teams. The 29 other teams in a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not special as it was, you know, like it used to. But then again, with so many channels these days, like, you know, like the idea of playing a team that you've never seen before. I mean, that's when you didn't have all these cable channels, you know. Mm-hmm. You get excited to see, let's say, the Yankees against the Cubs. Mm-hmm. On Fox 5 or CBS Sports. Mm-hmm. But now you have all these cable channels where you can watch those games at any time. So kind of takes the excitement away from playing a National League team that's coming into town that you haven't played in years. But, I mean, cable already took that away anyway, you know, with adding so many of these sports channels to it. But now with baseball having this interleague play every day now, it's like, I mean, yeah, not exciting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like a normal game now. When the Yankees play the Dodgers, just another game.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to win, you know, compared to years ago where the Dodgers coming out to us, oh, special. You know, we haven't seen Dodgers in 4 years, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
wasn't it like every 3 or 4 years you played a National League team? Or National League Division.
Right.
American League Division or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd switch
like,
it up.
Yeah, because it was like you would play against, you would, because you would only play against your divisional rival.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you would play against the divisional rival's division. And then afterwards, they would rotate it. You'd only play against your divisional rival and then play against the West.
Right.
Or the Central. But now it looks like, you're playing, you know, they're just going to alternate, you know, whether you play at home or road, you know.
Yeah.
For non-interleague rivals.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of takes excitement away.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why they're doing it, you know, it's just to make it fair. Mm-hmm. That everyone plays everyone, you know, in baseball.
That's the only good thing about it, but yeah. So in a sense, they fixed that problem, but the problem was started when they took the mystique out of interleague plays once, you know, after, they evened out the leagues by having the Astros in the American League.
Right.
And then they had everybody, it was interleague every day instead of, back in the days where it was, in the 90s to the 2000s, like the heyday of the interleague, whereas you'd have that 2 week period in like June or July where you play 2 weeks of interleague play straight. And then afterwards you move on and then you go on to the rest of the season playing in your league. But once they did it every day, like, okay, this team is playing this team. You know, there was no rhyme or reason. You know, it really messed up the game and it put some teams at a disadvantage. You know, Yankees, you know, are facing, you know, Mets are facing the Yankees, but then again, the Nationals are facing the Orioles or the Marlins are facing the Rays, you know, while there's a pennant race. There was no a parity, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least now there's a little, you know, there's a little bit more. There's parity now because everybody's facing everybody.
Yeah, and also you have the DH in both leagues now. So
right.
The other thing.
Which you were always
which I'm in favor
of.
Yes.
So. Yes, you got your wish ever since then.
Yeah, I'm tired of seeing these fucking pitchers can't hit. Sorry, pardon my French.
Well, I mean, you got your wish. Now I'll never see, you know, Scherzer, Verlander hit as a Met because of this rule. But
I'm sure you'd be excited for Verlander's 450-foot home run. I'm sure you're excited for that.
Hey, you never know. You catch, you know, Garrett Cole throws a fastball right down the middle. You know, you never know what could happen.
Yeah.
But seriously, shifting to the Yankees, before I shift to the Yankees, yeah, I guess I should talk a little bit more about the Scherzer thing, because, yeah, it's just it's a joke, like you mentioned, like, they're just rewriting the rules. Like, I mean, how are you going to suspend Scherzer when literally that's what everybody does? He literally said he took rosin. Everybody knows since Fred Flintstone was playing, you know, with the bedrocks, I don't know, in Major League, in the 1800s or whatever, you know, everybody knows that they use rosin. Like, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He said he used rosin, you know, and his sweat for the ball. The guy checked him before the you know, the inning. Normally the umpire checks you after the game to see, you know, they check you after after the inning to see, you know, if you cheated or whatnot. But they checked him before. So I'm like, could it be Dave Roberts, you know, since I was his former manager? When he got traded to Dodgers, maybe, you know, get a little what's the word I'm looking for? You know, that one-man upmanship. I forgot the word, how I'm trying to say it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm just wondering if it could have been, you know, from him trying to get an edge, you know, to rattle him or something. So then he came back, he took off the glove, got a new glove, and then afterwards he got kicked out and ejected. And, you know, Scherzer, even though he felt he was, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, he took the suspension because he knew if he fought it, then he'd spend out even longer. Somebody in the MLB is the one that's doing the officiating, you know, of the judgment. You know, he's going to lose it anyway. So he took one for the team and take the 10-game suspension, which is basically a two-start suspension. So, yeah, it's messed up. Like, he played by the rules, and he's getting penalized for it. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And the players on the positional players don't mind either, because they don't want these guys, you know, if they don't have a good grip on the ball, I mean, as long as they're not doing spider tech, you know, or anything illegal, they don't want the guy to be throwing a pitch and he don't got command and they hit him in the head. Like, come on. Like, players don't mind. The positional players don't mind facing these guys. Then why should we mind? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
So he's suspended for 10 games, huh?
10 games, which is really two starts for him since he's a pitcher.
When is Verlander coming back?
Verlander, he should be coming back sometime next month, maybe early next month. Scherzer suspension should be coming back, I think, May 1st. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully we can have our aces, you know, pitch, you know, and, you know, keep this momentum going.
Yeah.
You know how many games Verlander pitched so far?
None.
Exactly. Because he's been hurt before the season even started. So, yeah. So, yeah, hopefully Verlander can you know, have some of his magic from the Astros, his time from the Astros. And, before I go to the Yankees, yeah, man, shout out to the Mets. They've been playing well. I mean, they lost 7-4 today. But other than that, they've been phenomenal on the road. I think they have like a 7-2 road trip or so on the West Coast trip. Swept the A's. They won 2 out of 3 so far against the Giants, but they're gonna try to avoid they're trying to avoid a split tomorrow night on ESPN. I'm trying to think what else happened. They beat up the Dodgers. They beat up they won 2 out of 3 against the Giants right now. They're going to try to win 3 out of 4 tomorrow night. But yeah, they've been dominating on this road trip. They got to keep up this momentum. Pete Alonso, first person to hit 10 home runs this season. He also became the first Met to hit 10 home runs before May. And he's just smoking the ball, man. Like, props to him. And yeah. Lindor is playing well.
That's a hot start.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just got, but this starting pitcher, man, pitching has been shaky. Lucchesi, he got his first start in 2 years after he had Tommy John surgery. He pitched well yesterday. Peterson, he hasn't pitched well. Carrasco, he's on the IL. He hasn't pitched well either. Yeah, the Mets starting pitching has been kind of shaky. Senga, he's been all right. He's shown flashes. He's, I think, 2-0 so far in his – I think he's 2 or 3-0. He's shown some flashes here and there. Miguel has pitched well for the most part. Peterson hasn't. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Mets can, keep getting some, some production from Beatty and hopefully Alvarez once he gets settled in. And, and then the Mets have some guys in the minor leagues, Mauricio and Vientos hitting well in Triple A. So hopefully those guys can come up and, provide this team with some spark because they definitely need it. One more thing before I go to the Yankees. Madison Bumgarner, he got designated for assignment by the D-backs. So, Mac, would you want to see would you like to see the Mets, neither of them, go after Madison
I'd love
Bumgarner?
To see the Yankees go after him, yeah.
And it's pretty self-explanatory why.
Yeah, definitely. He's a big game pitcher. We'll love to see him on the Yankee side.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you would love to see him on the Mets side.
Yeah, catch a lightning in the bottle, see what you have out of him. He's a clutch pitcher. Trust me, as a Met 2016, I know firsthand how dominant he can be. He won 3 World Series championships. Yeah, he does look like he's over the hill, from his performance in the D-backs. But, hey, you never know. You give him a deal, him being in a postseason hunt might reignite
him. You never know.
Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
So I think he's worth the shot. Whether or not he wants to come to New York, that I don't know. But I think he'd be a good pick for either team to low risk, high reward potentially. So if I was either Epler with the Mets or Cashman with the Yankees, I would take a shot at him.
Yeah,
see what you got.
For sure.
And speaking of the Yankees, Gerrit Cole, man, he's been dominating. Right now you have to say he's the best pitcher right now in the game right now.
Oh yeah, by far. So he is off to the. He's looking like the pitcher that we signed originally.
Mm-hmm.
He would definitely be a Cy Young.
Mm-hmm.
He would win Cy Young if the season finished today,
mm-hmm.
for sure. This guy has been a strikeout machine, and today he pitched 5.2 innings. Allowed just 4 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. It wasn't a great game, but he still kept us in it. And Volpe hit a home run.
2-1 home run. DJ LeMahieu got the game-winning hit,
mm-hmm.
and we win 3-2. And tomorrow we're going to try to win another series against the Blue Jays tomorrow. We haven't lost a series yet all year.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that can remain the same. Because if we do that, then, you know, we're probably going to make the playoffs if we don't lose any series.
So how do you feel about Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
In regards to what? Him trying to – him getting mad at the pitch going at him?
No, more so that, like Ken Griffey Jr., he said that he never wants to play for you guys.
Oh, I don't care. Didn't he say that last year or something?
Yeah, he apparently he had to reiterate it again for some –
Yeah, I mean
– I guess they didn't believe him.
I don't care for him, so – All right, so he doesn't want to play the Yankees. I mean, no one asked. No one wanted you to play for the Yankees in the first place.
Yeah, but it's kind of stupid for him to say that, you know, because especially if his agent is Boris. I don't know who his agent is. You know, you want the Yankees or the Mets to be there to drive up the asking price.
Yep.
You know, that's usually what these star players do. And then after they, get the deal that they want.
And then when Yankees offer him a big contract, you're like, oh, I always wanted to be a Yankee.
Yeah, exactly. I want to help them win a championship. You know, it's been my lifelong dream. You know, yeah. You know what I mean? Just say you want to take the money and run.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Shit. Like, come on. You know, I always loved playing in Yankee Stadium. You know, it's a hollow ground, you know, with R and the Mystique and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, just keep it real. But, yeah, I mean, if a guy don't want to play, I mean, what can you do? You know what I mean? You'd rather a guy say he don't want to play for you than be a star player and come in and he stinks up the joint and becomes a liability.
Right. Yeah.
Thinking of a great player, do you regret the Giancarlo Stanton trade? Because, I mean, He was always supposed to be that great, you know, number two guy, you know, behind Judge, but he's always injury prone.
He is. So. He's missed about 40% of the games in the last four seasons. I mean, if he was just healthy, just imagine how many more games we could have won.
Oh, man.
You know, we probably could have had home field advantage. Well, last year was one of the years where he played most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had played, you know, 70, maybe, I can't say 70% might be too high, maybe. I'd say maybe over 50% of the time, we could have won more games over the last 4 years and maybe improve our playoff chances at having home field advantage. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the big thing with him is he's a big guy and he's always injured.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, he has a hamstring strain, and that's going to put him on the IL for 10 days. He's expected to miss about 6 weeks. So probably won't be back until maybe June, it sounds like.
So do you regret your boy Jeter making that trade to you guys?
No, I still don't regret it because, you know, there's mm-hmm. potential in Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
You know, and he definitely has helped us in as far as hitting home runs when he is healthy, you know, generating offense. So, no, I don't regret it. I mean, I can't even remember who gave up in that trade anyway.
I don't either.
Were they even worth it?
I don't even know. To be honest, I really don't even know who you guys gave up.
Yeah.
Other than a bag of balls and a magic beans or something.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I'm sure he's doing well in Miami. But, yeah.
Wasn't Starlin Castro part of that trade?
You might be right.
Is he still in baseball?
Starlin Castro, I think so. Let me go. I think I saw him last year. Let me see.
Okay.
Carlos Stanton trade. Let's see. Yes, you're right. Yankees traded Starlin Castro, and prospect Jorge Guzman and Jose Devers. I don't know if he has relations to Rafael Devers.
Rafael Devers.
Or Carol Danvers from Captain Marvel. But so, yeah, they got traded to Miami in exchange for Stanton and $30 million. So,
yeah, I don't even know what those guys are up to.
Yeah. Let me see if Starling, now that you mention that, let me see if Starling Castro is still in the game. Because last time I saw him, I think he was on the whatchamacallit, the Marlins, I think it was. All right, let me see. Starling Castro. Castro. Looks like he's a free agent right now. Let me just confirm this. Yeah, he hasn't played since the 2021 with the Nationals. Don't know if he's officially retired.
He's Dominican, right?
Looks like it. Let me double check. Yes, you are correct. He is Dominican.
Okay.
Yeah. Monte Cristo, Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Do you remember that your boy used to be called Mike Stanton?
Yeah, of course.
And he was at the Marlins?
Yeah. That was Giancarlo.
Mm-hmm. Cue the John Sterling call. No support or whatever he said. But yeah, the Yankees, you know, they're moving along. They won 3-2, like you said, on the
rubber game
walk-off.
Is tomorrow.
So yeah, the Yankees are just keep moving along.
Winning series. Try to win this one tomorrow. Or later today, right now, I should say.
Right. Then Gears, the Rangers, you know, they've been playing well. But unfortunately, tonight they fell to their divisional rival Devils in OT by the final score of 2-1. And yeah, hopefully the Rangers can come back and, you know, not let the Dougie Hamilton's game-winning goal stop their momentum. What was I going to say? Yeah, Chris Kreider, he scored a goal in that losing effort. Hopefully the Rangers will bounce back. They still lead the series 2-1. And game 4 is going to be back at the Garden. So hopefully the Rangers could win game 4, just like we're hoping and praying that the Knicks can win game 4 this afternoon. So we shall see about that. And one more thing about the Knicks. Grimes is questionable for game 4. So, you know, hopefully he can, just like Hart, you know, in game 2, he can, you know, improve health-wise with his right shoulder contusion and be able to play this afternoon. Because Grimes, he left game 3, you know, at the end of his quarter when he had the right shoulder contusion. So, you know, hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery and he'll be able to play today. What was I going to say next? Oh, yes. So, yeah, moving on to WWE. Gunther, he retained the Intercontinental title against Xavier Woods. Raquel Gonzalez and Liv Morgan retained the titles, the women tag team titles, against Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. I'm trying to think what else happened. The Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest defeated LWO, which is Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. Trying to think what else happened. I think Ricochet and Strowman defeated what's the name of that group? The Viking Raiders. Solo Sikoa defeated Matt Riddle yet again. I don't know, man. I know Matt Riddle got attacked by you know, Solo Sikoa, you know, months ago when he was out. But I don't know. I just feel it's not natural. Him being shoehorned into this feud seems, I don't know, it doesn't seem natural to me.
Right. I still see Riddle as a tag team guy right now. I don't know
exactly
if it's because his recent tag team, which, you know, run with Randy Orton, but yeah, I need to see more of Riddle as a singles guy to take him seriously right now.
Yeah, even though he was mostly that until he teamed up with Orton, but yeah, he seems natural as a tag team guy instead of, you know, somebody who's supposed to be intimidating as a main event guy.
Yeah, I don't see him as a main event guy yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it. I don't know why that is.
Maybe because he's too laid back, you know.
Yeah, might need a heel turn. Maybe I'm thinking.
He might.
Hey, maybe that might be on the way. Remember, they always teased the Randy Orton versus that, you know, maybe Randy Orton might be, you know, stab him in the back, but that never happened.
Yeah, because Orton's still hurt.
Yeah.
So on Raw, Solo Sikoa defeated Rey Mysterio. What else happened? Trish Stratus explained that was her that started the Women's Evolution, the Four Horsewomen. Let me see what else happened. Bianca Belair defeated Dakota Kai. I think the title was on the line, if my memory serves me right. And Cody Rhodes attacked the security, you know, when they tried to stop him from fighting Brock Lesnar after Brock Lesnar attacked them a few weeks ago. Let's see what else happened. Braun defeated The Miz. Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory, their match ended in a no decision. And Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green defeated Mia Yim, also known as Michin, I think, and Candice LeRae. What else happened? Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Matt Riddle defeated Judgment Day. I think this will end Raw, if I'm not mistaken, too. Yeah, all in all, there was nothing much really happened this week. All the story just was moving along to continue the story, further the story until Backlash.
That's pretty much a WrestleMania, just WrestleMania follow-ups, really.
Mm-hmm. Nothing that's you know, moving the needle, you know, to progress the storyline. It's just everything is just basically continuing the storyline.
Yep.
Let's see. On AEW Rampage, Jamie Hayter and Dr. Britt Baker defeated Toni Storm and Ruby Soho. else happened? Oh yeah, right. The Jericho Society, they attacked the Blackpool Combat Club attacked the Elite, and then I think Jericho Society was there also, and somebody attacked Britt Baker, I think. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was in front of Adam Cole when they were attacking. Let me see. Let me just make sure.
I didn't even watch the replay because I was watching the Knick game. You're still talking about SmackDown, right?
Oh, no, I'm talking about AEW on Wednesday.
Oh, AEW, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wardlow defeated Powerhouse Hobbs.
By the way, there was a big fight tonight. Gervonta Davis against Ray Garcia. Both were undefeated. It looks like Gervonta Davis just won.
Congrats to him.
27-0.
Congrats. Wardlow regains the TNT title against his former Team Taz teammate. Jay White defeated Commander. And, right, okay, yes. So, yeah, Adam Cole and Jericho were talking to each other. And basically, Danny Garcia attacked Adam Cole. Britt Baker came to help her real-life boyfriend out. Mm. But then Soraya, you know, formerly known as Paige, Toni Storm, and Ruby Soho, comes out and attack Britt Baker. Dan Garcia handcuffs Cole, and Jericho tells Soraya, Tony, and Ruby to attack Britt with the candlesticks. And Cole basically like the Judgment Day attacking Beth Phoenix in front of Edge. So basically, Adam Cole had to watch Britt, his real-life girlfriend. I think there might be fiancé, too, if I'm not mistaken. He had to watch her get beaten with candlesticks while he's handcuffed. And I think that's how the show ended, too. The Acclaim defeated Jericho Appreciation Society. Sammy Guevara, he defeated Jungle Boy in the Pillars Tournament semifinals. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's basically it, really. Anything else you'd like to talk to me, you know, you'd like to talk about before we head out, man?
Go Knicks. Hopefully they can win tomorrow. Go up 3-1.
Today, I should say. Yeah, man, I'm with you. Hopefully we can win game four in the series eventually. And thank you, Matt, for coming on. Check out my channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. Check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, every Saturday at 11. And talk to you then. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
They go New York, go New York, go.
On the fourth floor, Morris. race. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunked in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss. We are New York, we are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go! Rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York, we are the New York Knicks. They go New York, go New York, go.